one that ruleth well his own house. And I often think, you know, that ruling well doesn't mean that I carry a big stick. Some president who used to walk, is it Theodore Roosevelt, you historians? Walk softly and carry a big stick? That's not what God wants. Better we put down the stick and speak softly. Demonstrate the love that God wants us to demonstrate to our wives. Let the children see that there's a special bond between me and my wife. He has to be a man of high moral character. He has to be patient. He can't be someone who is always starting a fight. And I will submit to you that if this man in his own house is one who loves his wife submitting to him, his children following his direction, he will not be one who is always picking fights. But more than that, we are told he must have a good report of those who are outside. You see, I can be in the meetings and I can put on my mask and do a good job of pretending. But the man outside who sees me on my job, who sees me at the park playing racquetball, what have you, he looks at me and he sees a hypocrite, because he knows that what I am in the so-called church, I am not like that when I'm in the company of others. So this one who wants oversight must have a good report of those who are outside, those unbelievers. Must be able to look at him and say, you know something? Mr. So-and-so is definitely a Christian. Because he demonstrates it. A message for us as men. And again I repeat. Is your wife lovelier today than she was the day when you both said, I will or I do? If she is, it is not for us to puff up our chest and say, well, she's the product of, you know, my tutelage. It is for us to give God thanks that we have been obedient to his word, that we have been demonstrating that sacrificial love. And I'll tell you this. If we demonstrate that love to our wives, they will have no difficulty in practicing submission. But there's also a very solemn note that must be struck. And we find it in the book of Joshua. Chapter 7. We're not going to read it. I'm just going to speak of. God had given specific instructions to his people. The first city they were going to attempt to conquer, he gave them instructions. Instructions which to the human eye seemed to be absolutely foolish. But they followed those instructions to the letter. And they achieve victory. If we want to achieve victory, we must need follow the instructions from our captain, from our commander in chief, in relation to our homes, our wives, our children, in relation to the world outside, in relation to the assembly. if we want to achieve victory. Those in Jericho, although they heard of the prowess of these people and how God had worked for them, they were afraid. But after they arrived and they started to walk around that city, they must have thought, what a bunch of fools. They can't defeat our city by just walking around it. But they reckon without the commander-in-chief. He had a plan. He had a battle plan. And so they achieve victory. But God had said, look, everything in that city is accursed. Don't touch it. You don't want to be contaminated. You want to be separate from that. And one man thought he could do it. He could disobey and no one would ever know. And so we find that there was a little city and Joshua sent some spies up and said, go, you know, reconnoiter. Look at that city and come back and bring word. And the men came back and they said, look, there's so few of them. We don't even need to send the whole army. Just about 2,000 or 3,000 men. They can go up and they can easily conquer that city. You know the story. They went up. And soon they were beating a hasty retreat. Because those few men drove those 3,000 back. And they came back reporting to Joshua, we've been defeated. And Joshua couldn't understand. So he says, Lord, what happened? You know, we should have remained where we were. Everybody is now going to hear of this ignominious defeat. And what will that do to your great name? He's on his face before God. And you might think that's the proper place to be. God said to him, get up. Why are you on your face? Israel has sinned. Now there was one man who disobeyed God. It probably was unknown to everybody else, his fellow soldiers, everybody else. But God said, Israel has sinned. When I am disobedient to the word of God, and I go into the place where the saints are gathered, and I have some unconfessed sin in my life, it's going to affect the entire gathering. I am not a lone wolf in this setting. I'm part of a company who are endeavoring to serve the Lord. But if I come and I know, this is not something I don't know about. I know that I have done something wrong. But I have not confessed it to the Lord. I have not asked for His forgiveness. I have not taken hold of that promise. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity and unrighteousness. If I come, and there is something that I have not confessed, it is going to affect the entire company. Achan sinned. And the entire nation suffered defeat. God didn't say, Achan has sinned. He says, Israel has sinned. He equated one man's disobedience to the whole nation. And there had to be judgment. Beloved in the Lord, if we go into, and I'm speaking primarily to the husbands, but it covers all of us. If we go into the assembly. And the reason I'm saying it to husbands is because we're the ones who take an active part. We're the ones who stand up on our feet. And for the whole company, we speak to God. We give Him His praise and thanks.